Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. On the back of a very positive and upbeat episode the other week, we're back to being down in the dumps at a 4-1 defeat against Kilmarnock on Saturday. A big setback in our season. We now go into this post-split games, still under threat of relegation. We'll also discuss the decision of the football club for the players not to take a knee before the kick-off on Saturday and in forthcoming matches. We'll discuss the bottom six fixtures. The fixture list was released yesterday. The Scottish Cup game against Fermartin or Annan Athletic. And we'll see what else catches eye over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, first of all, welcome along.
How you doing?
Scott, I'll start with you. And as I've already mentioned, Saturday's game at Kilmarnock. I think we've got to be fair. The first half was pretty evenly matched. We got off to a dreadful start, a very uncharacteristic error from Liam Kelly, allowing Kyle Lafferty to open the scoring within the first 60 seconds. But we did bounce back, we did respond. Barry Maguire got an equaliser 6 or 7 minutes later. We created a few chances as the half went on, but the second half, we lost two goals in the space of 3 minutes, and it killed the game stone dead. Kelly got a goal as we pressed to try and find our way back into the game. And it capped off a really disappointing afternoon. This was a Kilmarnock team that were completely devoid of confidence. They were without a win under Tommy Wright. They were at the bottom of the league at 3 o'clock on Saturday. They obviously managed to move off the bottom spot with that victory. And it puts a wee bit of doubt in our minds. We were beginning to think that relegation was completely off the cards, but that's maybe swung somewhat. And a reminder to Graham Alexander and his players, if it was needed, that they're still in a relegation battle and we're still going to need to pick up points in these remaining games if we're to ensure our Premiership safety.
For me, it's really frustrating. As we've never seen, there's no happy medium with us. I don't know. It's like we're either, I wouldn't say we've ever been brilliant. The Hibs games will have been the standout performance of the whole season. But getting beat 4-1 and convincingly beaten in the second half, there isn't any debate about the best team won. We didn't deserve anything out of the game at all. It was just brutal. In the end, the only thing that makes me a wee bit more positive is the fact that if we'd won the game, the season was finished. Not that I want it to be in a relegation dogfight, but it means that the next couple of games that we get into, you still got that wee bit of kind of nervous edge to it. But I still think we will be fine. I don't think there'll be any way that we'll go down this season, and I'll stand by that. I think it was a massive call for Graham Alexander, continuing with Tyler McGlone. Now, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I know, looking back on it now, of Declan Gallagher was playing, maybe we would have won. But he's got to be loyal to the players that had the two really strong performances against Livingston and in particular Hibson. We did mention that Tyler McGlure looked as if he was going to be a half-decent player. But things have just stalled again. I think there's changes going to be made for our next game. It's frustrating as well that there seems to be a lot of breaks. we're here a week, go off a week, here a week, go off a week, obviously the international break, then it's the Scottish Cup, so we've got time to put things back together and get things, hopefully get, I think, about two wins, maybe even 4 points would be enough for us. It's just disappointing that we're not going to be able to relegate Accies. I would have loved to have got a fixture with Hamilton last game of the season, and it was a game that was decisive to win. The one thing that is surprising me is that we've signed these players, the likes of Sam Foley, Harry Smith, Eddie Nolan. They've had a good few weeks off, yet they don't even, they're not fit enough to make the bench. I don't know if it's laser recruitment, but what the medicals were like, but it just beggars belief. Because a player now that likes like Sam Foley, for example, it's probably what we need in the middle of the park, a bit of experience. So, sorry I've rambled on a wee bit, but there is quite a few concerning factors, particularly coming out of the game when Kilmarnock hadn't won a game, but that's the type of game that I always say I dread when a manager like Tommy Wright was getting a fair bit of criticism, hadn't won a game, along come Motherwell and bang, there you go, there's your first victory. And of course it had to be Kyle Lafferty as well.
Andy, I'll go into the squad in a wee bit more depth as we progress here, but sticking with Rugby Park and the defeat on Saturday, I guess it's one that there was the perfect storm went against us, where there was a few bits of bad luck and a few chances missed, then you lose a fourth goal when you're chasing the game, and it looks like it's a real drubbing. I don't actually think on the balance of play, Kilmarnock merited a 4-1 victory. But again, we go to the post-match interview, and maybe I read too much into them, because I seem to dwell quite a lot on the words of the manager or certain players in press conferences as well at points this season. The hunger, the desire wasn't as it should have been. And that's what happens when the levels drop. You get a result like that. Now, how many times are we going to allow this to happen, though? Because, as I opened the podcast with, we just can't seem to get a run where we have more than a couple of results back-to-back before things pretty much go to shit again. Honestly, I really feel at this moment in time that if we could just actually end the season, say we're ninth, that's fair enough. Forget the Scottish Cup, can't be bothered, and just get this season in the bin, because it's just been hopeless. And time and time again, these haphazard performances come out. I don't like the... There was a lot of stuff in social media over the last couple of days, but I thought it seemed to get a wee bit personal towards players, and I don't like when individuals are singled out like that. I just think that there's massive, massive overhaul needed, though. And as I say, we'll go and we'll look through individuals in the squad. After saying I won't point out individuals, we'll cover everybody in the squad a wee bit later on. But am I the only one that's a bit concerned about the lack of application on a Saturday afternoon for some of these players? Because really, they just don't seem to have that hunger and desire to get through a battle at times. And it's so disappointing to see.
Starting off, I would agree with yourself. I don't think it was a 4-1 on the balance of play. I've read some people go to town in the performance, but to me, I compare the 3-goal deficit to the losses against Hamilton and St Johnstone a few weeks back to that 4-1 defeat, a 3-goal deficit there. And the two of them were night and day. It's a poor start. It's, you know, the number of times that Kelly's saved us, I wouldn't say you could give him that one, but you know, the ratio of saves to mistakes is way in our favour. So unfortunately, you know, we conceded a poor goal, but get back on it and level turns quite quickly. And in all honesty, there was nothing between the teams in the first half. If anything, we were the brighter of the two teams marginally at the start of the second half. All that's really happened there is they've managed to get two goals in quick succession, which is basically taking the game away from us. And as you rightly alluded to, were chasing the game to try and get back into it and get caught in the break. And I don't buy that it was a particularly poor... It wasn't a great performance, but I've seen much, much worse, put it that way. But I didn't pick up any kind of perceived feelings that there wasn't a level of effort there from them. I just thought it was one of those days where it's went against us. I never actually caught what the manager had said, that the game was enough for me once I'd seen that. So I haven't seen the remarks that have been said, and I've missed most of the stuff on social media as well, to be honest. So I can't really comment too much about that. But we are what we are. We're an erratic, inconsistent team. We're erratic, inconsistent players, and you're going to get these performances. Were we up a sufficient level, then we would be sitting in the top six with the odd defeat rather than the odd win, and the consistency would be there. That'd be a bit more readily than it is just now. So it is what it is just now. He's got that squad to play with until the end of the season, and he just needs to try and get as much of a tune out of them as he possibly can until then, and then he can do what he needs to do, and then it's next season that we judge his team on. And as you say, you can come on to the squad element at a later date, but there's still enough there in my mind about us to be able to get the results that we need to ensure that position. The inconsistencies and erraticness of performance to win the cup, what you need is about four or five of those in a row. If they turn out on the right day, you're in a chance there. So I wouldn't be dismissing the season completely. We're going to have some high points as well, as probably another loss or two along the way before the end of the season. Then we say our goodbyes to those that are moving on and see what he's got lined up to bring in, and hopefully push on a wee bit better next season.
Okay, so I'll maybe rephrase that in the sense that, yeah, I don't think that it's lack of effort, lack of desire. It's a lack of dig, I think it is. The head slumped too easily. We're a team that were very rarely able to fight back from going a goal down. For a long time, it took until the Ross County game towards the end of January for us to demonstrate that we had that in us. I just don't... I feel that we're a team that doesn't deal with adversity very well. It's all well and good getting ahead, and against Hibs, we got the confidence, we've got that first goal, but so often we don't. Barry Maguire gives a break, and I think Devante Cole actually tries to turn the ball into the net, but misses it, and it turns out to be a great dummy. They've got their heads up, they're beginning to believe that they're going to win this game. And then we go behind, and then we switch off again, and it's almost kind of like everyone's looking around at each other. It's maybe a lack of leadership. We're not playing a captain just now. When we go through the squad, we'll discuss Declan Gallagher. There was a fair few points of discussion regarding Declan Gallagher, despite the fact that he wasn't in the starting 11 on Saturday. I just feel that there's no one there to drag us up when things are going against us. And does that in turn look like a lack of desire? No, but it does look like a kind of sluggish and shoulders dropped and heads down attitude.
We've been making these same points for much of the season, though, and the names Tate and Hartley get thrown up continually whenever the kind of conversation comes up. And certainly we might have replaced them in terms of ability-wise. Some would argue we haven't, but we certainly replaced them as players. But what we haven't perhaps replaced is, and again, it's something that we've said in the past, is we haven't got the characteristics that they brought. We haven't perhaps got the determination or the drive that you're alluding to there. And I think that's certainly the case, that there are... We've seen Motherwell teams in recent times where they may not have had a level of ability, but you know what you were going to get in terms of, you know, that kind of hard-nosed element, that drive that you're talking about. And that's the challenge that Alexander faces for next season, is trying to increase the quality of the players, as well as having those that's going to have the characteristics to do what we need to do when things get a bit tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point.
But see, you're mentioning Richard Tate, right? Richard Tate, for me, we've got an improvement in Richard Tate and Stephen O'Donnell. So he's played at international level. We've got an international right back in our squad.
That's right. I'd agree with that, but he's certainly not got the characteristics that Richard Tate has. He's quiet. He's just O'Donnell. He's no fault in his ability, but he's anonymous. He's just one of the players that blends in. Which cumulatively, when you've got more of them and less of the kind of hard nosed types that go around kicking arses and shouting and screaming and doing that and dragging people alongside of it, that's just no part of his game. That's no part of his nature. That's not necessarily a failing in his part. It's just not his characteristic.
But I think that should fall more. I think if you look round about the league, the majority of the kind of terrier type players should be in the middle of your park. I think our midfield. Now we've been. It's almost as if we've been two-faced here because I think when the tough games come ahead, Robbie Crawford and Barry Maguire fall away, and it leaves Alan Campbell totally alienated, and he is not effective at all. When the two of them fall away, I think the issue is that we haven't got that fight in the middle of the park. I think when things are going flowing, having to take nice wee touches. He passes to the side, but once we're looking for a fight, Robbie Crawford and Barry Maguire aren't the type of players that you need when we're playing this particular type of formation. And what I will say is, I don't think that Liam Polworth is either, and I think that's where we're really missing Liam Donnelly. So I think I maybe being a bit jumping the gun a wee bit by saying, oh, the position makes a difference. I just think that you need some more fight and a bit more grit and determination in the middle of that park to support Alan Campbell, because when he doesn't play, then I think the whole team we miss it.
I think it's amazing in the space of 12 months. You look at the St Mirren game in the cup last year, you're 4-1 down at half time. Now in terms of the squad, we thought we had a really good summer in terms of recruitment. Maybe we've changed our stance somewhat on that now, but squad versus squad, when you line them up, I don't think you would say that this squad that we've got currently is a lot worse than that team that played St Mirren that night. But they weren't down and out at 4-1. They battled, they got a few bits of luck. Ultimately, they came up short in penalties, but they got back into the game. Now, I just don't see those qualities in this team. And maybe that's because these are players that need things to be going their way. They need it to be all rosy in the garden. And in terms of turning things around from negative situations, this team look sort of incapable of doing it at times. Whereas that team, maybe with the benefit of a fair few wins behind them, during the season, they had the belief that they were a good side. Maybe it's belief that's lacking in this team as well, but you just don't lose 4-1 to Kilmarnock. You don't lose 4-1 to Aki's, 3-0 at home to St Johnston. If you're a team full of confidence, I really don't believe that, because it's so often said, there's very little between the majority of the teams in this league out with Celtic and Rangers. Now, why are we suffering these heavy defeats? It's an Achilles heel, and it's something that should have been addressed long before now. But these results have continued to mar our season, and it is the reason where we are, because we do lose games like that, and we lose them emphatically. We're lucky that we're sitting here talking about this happening in game 33 and not game 37 or 38. When it's absolutely pivotal that we win. Because would you be able to sit here with any confidence, either of you, and say, we go toe-to-toe with Kilmarnock or Ross County, at home or away, in a must-win game, and we'll come out with a result?
I don't know. I don't know, to be perfectly honest, because I would have said that your situation was after Hamilton and after St Johnston, that could have quite easily, things could have fallen away dramatically at that point. And they managed to recover it back then and have three pretty good results in the bounce. I think they're just inconsistent. It's going to be the case until we get to the end of the season. They're not necessarily a bad team. Just they don't have the resilience. They might not have the characteristics. But I still think there's enough in there to get to the end of the season and get the points that we need. But as I say, they did show the character that was required to come back, because they could have quite easily wilted after those two horror shows. Could have went to St Mirren, you know, lost there when they were, you know, going there. I recollect that we were going into Paisley and they were all convinced that they were going to get 3 points, that they'd players back, that they were going to steamroller us on their way to the top six and all the rest of that nonsense. If we were the better team that night, we'd get the result against Hibs, we'd get the win against Livingston. So they've demonstrated that they can recover for these setbacks before. And
but we got the first goal in all those games.
I can't actually remember. But regardless of that, you're saying can they go in and win these head-to-head games? Well, yeah, they possibly could. They might necessarily need to get the first goal for it to go their way, by all means. But yeah, they could win those games as easily as they could lose them.
I don't know. I just feel a wee bit of a downer with it. I'm quite guilty of getting carried away and get a bit excited when we aren't a good run of form. And to be fair, you looked at the Hibs game and the Livingston game on paper. 6 points seemed like a dream. So to go and get them, and to get them deservedly, I just don't know where they lose the momentum.
But what you've got to look at, Andy, is like, see if we'd beaten, I know that this is a comment that doesn't really make a difference, but see if we had beaten Kelly at the weekend, you'd have been like, what a run we're on. The thing that I probably was trying to maybe didn't eloquently put it at the start was, it seems to be that we go on this good run and then we're getting absolutely hammered. And Andy said he didn't think it was a 4-1 game. In the second half, I did. I thought that we just looked out of ideas, but at the end of the day, it is just one result. And as Andy said, I think we will get to the end of the season without any problems. When you look at the teams that we've got at home, I would expect us to get to win all our games at home. I really would.
It's going to take a massive swing, certainly, for us to go down here. But we continually make life difficult for ourselves, that's for sure. The post-match fixtures start off with a game against St Mirren. We've got trips to Accies and Dundee United as our away games. We'll play at home to... We'll play at home in Ross County in the final day, and we'll play someone else in between that. I can't remember. Kilmarnock, yeah. We've got another game against Kilmarnock, and I'm quite like to forget about a few meetings against Kilmarnock this season. Possibly the cracking goal from Alan Campbell aside, it's been a bit of a horror story against them as well. Stephen Robinson's last game in charge, and then Saturday. We'll look at these fixtures briefly, Andy, because that, as Scott's already mentioned, it's a few weeks away until we get started on, I think it's the 10th April we start, so just about 3 weeks to go until league football resumes. Starting with St Mirren, it's kind of hard to tell, I suppose, that a real blow to their aspirations late on against Accies to lose a place in the top six.
Tragedy.
I know that you've been outside the candles, marking their dreams fading away late on, but that is possibly quite a good starter in terms of they'll have very little to play for. They'll obviously be aspiring to finish seventh after missing out in sixth, but go about it the right way. We've drawn with them twice at their place. We lost a pretty much nothing game before Christmas at Fir Park. We've got to recover, and if we get these 3 points, we're back on here saying that we're pretty much there.
I would think so. The fallen, as you say, the fallen, not too bad. The St Mirren one, yep. You're hopefully, the difficulty is, and this was, I think, is part of the issue that we had on Saturday as well, is the loss of momentum in between the games. By the time that came around, that 2 week spell that we had before we played Kilmarnock was absolutely right up their street in terms of their manager getting time to work with their players, getting Lafferty into his system, you know, to a greater degree than what he's been thus far. Working in that, specifically targeting that single game, knowing that they've then got the same kind of gap. Now, we're in a lesser extent, we're slightly less need for points than they are. So I know that there's the, as Pepe said, but we get the win and that's us almost saved. But there's that element comes into it where, you know, momentum that you have can sort of fizzle away to a certain extent, and it's going to be a bit of a frustration that you need to wait that length of time for it to come around again. But yep, you hope that you're playing against a St Mirren team that's got nothing much to play for, that you can take advantage of them. Then we kind of move on, I think, to Hamilton, and that's one I'm kind of perversely looking forward to, because their record out with games against us is pretty abysmal, and a quick scan amongst their kind of social media posters, and that's there. They're almost pinning their hopes in that 3 points that they're getting against us. And sooner or later, our record against them is going to turn as it did before when we had a stinking record against them and we went on a half decent run. And I'm contradicting myself when we're saying we're up and down and we're inconsistent and you don't know what you're going to get to some extent, but I would like to think that if there's any kind of bit of pride amongst them in there, and there's wrongs to be righted in that fixture, and I very much hope that this is the occasion that we take to sort of sort that one out. And if you happen to win those two games, then you're pretty much home and dry. 4 out of 6 arguably could probably leave you home and dry, and then it's a case that we would hope that, regardless of opposition, if we want to, you know, give some of our youngsters a go, then we've got, you know, another 3 games that we can use that opportunity to do so, rather than the kind of pressure building, as it were, if we don't get the kind of desired outcome immediately. So for me, it's focusing that's the main game, and I hope that we can do to them to an extent what Kilmarnock did against ourselves at the weekend.
I think as well, just to follow on from what you're saying, obviously the priority is to get minimum 4 points, but I think what would maybe keep the momentum going is that wee bit of running the cup. So obviously the cup games are going to be coming really fast, so that's going to add a wee bit of kind of a excitement to the end of the season, and it'll probably make the, if there's still a chance that we get to even a semi-final, the players are going to be having to fight for their places. So I think that's probably quite important that we do quite well in the Cup. And as you say, in the league, potentially resting some of the players and giving the likes of Dean Cornelius, even, I don't know if Jamie Semple's still potentially going to feature. So I think the Cup is going to play quite a significant factor in it to the end of the season.
Just a final one on Saturday, and this is always something that remains for the remainder of the season and beyond. The statement coming out of the club that the players have stopped taking the knee before matches, that was effective immediately from the 20th of March, which of course was the day that Motherwell played Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. Andy, there was unfortunately a very public case of racism in Rangers Europa League tie on Thursday night, involving what appeared to be racial abuse of Glenn Kamara. This was quite rightly condemned far and wide by so many involved within football. Utterly abhorrent and disgusting to see.
the knee has been symbolic of the fight against racism and has featured in a variety of sports over the last 8 or 9 months. The club have released a statement accompanied by thoughts from the players where they've suggested that the impact of taking the knee has been lost. A few other clubs followed suit as the weekend went on. I know Dundee United also did it. I didn't actually see the start of the Celtic versus Rangers match on Sunday, but I don't believe either side took the knee for that one either. It's at the time, it seemed like quite a big statement from the club, kind of going against what everyone else was doing. But it seems to have been quite well received. And as long as the procedures are still in place, and Motherwell are going to try and actually take the fight to racism rather than what they perceive as an empty gesture, then I personally don't see any issue with it.
No, likewise. Whatever the kind of players in the club feel most appropriate, I'm comfortable with that. I can understand the point being made, or the message does become kind of lost over time if it's continually repeated and falls on deaf ears. Some instances, so whatever they feel's the most appropriate action to try and deliver a positive message there, then, you know, comfortable with that completely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've been promising to take a look at this squad, and I've already seen, Andy, you've allowed people to be Graham Alexander and Steelman online. Well, now the chance gets afforded to you and Scott to also be Graham Alexander and go through this squad. I'm going to act as the assistant. I'll need to be Chris Lachetti because I couldn't even claim to be anywhere near as good looking as Keith Lasley. But let's go through this squad one by one. This could take the majority of the rest of the podcast here and decide whether they should be at Fir Park beyond the end of this season and who has to go. We'll start with the goalkeepers. That seems like the best place to kick us off. Scott, Trevor Carson.
Keep him, absolutely. I think, obviously, the only concern for me is his injuries. The most difficult thing to compare Trevor Carson is the kind of former Liam Kelly. That's the main thing. But Trevor Carson, for me, definitely would be staying.
Absolutely. Echo those thoughts. It's been really disappointing to see Trevor's setbacks, and it must be incredibly frustrating for him. He had worked his way back into the Northern Ireland setup as well, only to suffer that setback around Christmas time, which has ruled him out since. But fingers crossed we see him back in action. You'd expect to see Liam Kelly depart the club at the end of his loan spell. He's, by all accounts, in a very tidy sum at QPR and not one that we would be able to match. So, yeah, I'd certainly keep Trevor Carson. What about yourself, Andy?
Yep, echo that. Yep. Don't know what the kind of longer term plans are. Whether they're looking at more kind of consistent, just following on to the kind of goalkeeping front. What the kind of aspirations are. Whether they're going to try and go with Fox, extend his deal, or whether it's kind of PJ Morrison that's going to be the backup. So It is going to be interesting to see what they do there, but you know, if you've got a fit and you know, available Trevor Carson there to utilise, then you know that's a pretty straightforward decision, that one.
We'll move on to Scott Fox, and I'll start with yourself this time, Andy. Had to judge this one, a player that has had absolutely no game time after sustaining a cruciate injury back in August, and we don't expect to see him play for the remainder of this season.
If he's going to be there as backup, then I don't see why not. I don't know what it kind of depends on how they kind of view, you know, PJ Morrison. Are they definitely viewing him as a potential successor for Trevor? If it's going to be the case that he's going to benefit from
staying around the club, and he was as you've both mentioned in terms of the games that Trevor's missed over the recent seasons, then it might be as handy having, you know, PJ around to fall in to cover him, so that he gains the necessary experience if that is the kind of the view that he's going to be a successor. If it's not the case, then I don't see why not for folks. If you're intending to kind of move somebody else on and bring somebody younger through as a potential longer term goalkeeper, and have that experienced player sitting there. You know, I don't know how many games he's played in the top flight, but he's certainly got a wealth of experience in kind of Scottish football at, you know, Premier League and kind of top end of the kind of Championship level. So he's certainly not the worst player to be sitting there as cover, assuming he's fit and ready to, you know, assume that role. So I'd be kind of sitting in the fence a wee bit, depending upon what the kind of plans are for PG.
Yeah, I think I'm sitting in that fence right beside you. I wasn't exactly thrilled at the signing. I think he's got a bit of a reputation for being somewhat error prone, Scott Fox, but as you say, he's quite an experienced head. He's obviously had the misfortune of that injury when he's came to try and prove why he should be at Motherwell. And you mentioned something the other week that we tend to have we're talking about Charles Dunn, we tend to have a bit of a reputation or a way about us that we take care of our players and let them, and rightly so, I think, recover from bad injuries and give them at least a platform, whether it be a short-term extension, just to prove his fitness and see whether it's going to work out, or to put him in the shop window somewhat. So I would say that I would expect Scott Fox to get some sort of deal. And I wouldn't be adverse to that, I don't think. We'll finish with yourself, Scott.
I'm not going to be sitting on the fence with Scott Fox. He can go. Wasn't over enamoured when he signed. Feel sorry that he's had an injury, but at the end of the day, we're not here to... We've supported him through this year. I think it's time that maybe a fresh start. Although one thing that I will point out is that I noticed that him and Trevor Carson have started a kind of goalkeeping coaching thing, so I feel expected that we'll start the season as Trevor Carson is number one and Scott Fox is his backup. But I would prefer that we went for a particularly if Trevor Carson's going to be there, Scott Fox with a really, really serious injury. I would rather have somebody consistent, as long as it's not the other keeper that we've got in our books. I'm not even going to mention his name because I got a shiver down my spine.
You're not talking about Liam Kelly, and I don't think we need to either, to be fair. As I've already mentioned, the wages, unless it's another loan deal and something could happen there, I wouldn't expect Liam Kelly to be at the club, but he's not our player to begin with. So I think that's one we skip over, and I'm sure we'll unanimously agree that we would love to see Liam Kelly at Fir Park next season. Whether that happens is possibly down to QPR much more than it's down to Motherwell. PJ Morrison, again, it's another one that, guys, I think that we'll maybe brush over because we've got, for starters, a raft of goalkeepers to go through, and it's another one that hasn't had any game time, been out on loan. Recently, it was called back after injuries to quite a few of our goalkeepers. We've not seen him in action. It's possibly one for those inside the club to decide on that one. Scott has had his say on Aaron Chapman. Andy, I've got to say that I think that his time at the club, I'm surprised it's not actually already came to an end. I thought we would maybe just had a mutual parting of ways, but seemingly not. It's surely a 100-1 shot that Aaron Chapman remains at Fir Park next season.
Alright, sir. Thank you for your efforts. Good luck at your next club.
You can say thank you.
Well, we didn't make you mention his name, so you're all right. Next one, and this one could actually be the first one that we're pretty much torn on. Liam Grimshaw. Liam Grimshaw has been out long term now with what's been described as an illness. He's been in and out the squad through the first half of the season. A player that really kicked on under Stephen Robinson, then found consistency a bit of an issue. He's been certainly a versatile player for us, played in a range of positions. I'm going to go first in this one, and I know a lot of people will disagree here. He's a real fan favourite, but I think that it might be time for Liam Grimshaw to move on. I wasn't particularly impressed with his form in the games that he did feature in at the start of this season. I think he had a fairly inconsistent season last term. Yeah, I think that it might be time for Motherwell and Liam Grimshaw to part company.
Disagree. Totally disgusted with you. Honestly. the guy gives 100%. He can play. I don't think he's ever a first pick. He's converted into a right back. He's the type of player that we probably need right now. If you need to bring a player that can fill in at left back, you'll put him there. Getting rid of Liam Grimshaw, when you've said you'd potentially keep Scott Fox, is disastrous. Honestly, I'm disgusted with you.
Andy, are you going to help me out here?
Is the C stream as well, is that where it is? Have you got a bean in your bonnet, the Liam Grimshaw stream, or is he, you know?
I was pretty full of praise for Liam Grimshaw's time at Motherwell. Just the fact that, I don't know, I feel like my justification is pretty reasonable for parting ways. The thing is, I think a lot of, if you're judging it on the last season in three quarters, the only reason you're keeping Liam Grimshaw is sentimental.
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think he's had a particularly good season this year, but I do think he brings something to the team in terms of the versatility that, you know, Scott has mentioned. I think the season beforehand, granted it was because Tate was over on the left hand side covering, but he performed pretty well at, you know, right back there. I don't think he got off to a particularly good start in that position, but he's the type of player that can come in and do a job. I wouldn't have him as a first pick either, but if he was happy there to be a squad member, to be utilised and as and when was required, all squads need players like him. The danger is you have too many of the versatile types and not enough specialists in positions, and the overall quality can deteriorate to some extent, but, you know, he is one. We go back to the kind of people at the way back or to the top of the kind of recording, and he is one that has the characteristics that will keep going, and he might not necessarily be the most talented of players, but you know what you're going to get in terms of effort and grit and getting stuck in from Grimmy. So no, I wouldn't be upset if he's still on the payroll next season. Perhaps it comes down to the budget that's available. I think he's under contract anyway. I could be wrong, but so he's every likelihood he's going to be there. But no, I've got no issues with Liam Grimshaw being in that squad for the foreseeable.
Good on you, Andy. Good on you.
Andy's 8.5. Either that or he's mute.
No, I've not taken the half. I was on mute. you're right. It was a redundant point because he hasn't out of contract at the end of the season. We'll stick with the ones that are and make this a wee bit quicker. So the next player on the list... I don't think I can start with you, Scott, actually. I was going to, but you're not going first. That would just be ridiculous. Andy, Bevis McGarvey.
That's a tricky one. That depends on the caliber of players that he's got in mind to improve the squad. Davis is the epitome of inconsistency and erratic form over the course of his time with us. There's been times I've thought he's been absolutely dreadful, and times I've thought there's a player here. I can see exactly why we would have invested the time in trying to develop him and bring him on. He's a penalty magnet, which is a frustration. But as he's demonstrated as well, when our forwards aren't even scoring, there's always a possibility of a goal from him. So he kind of brings something up the other side of the kind of park as well. He's definitely, I think, over the piece this season, get a bit more consistency and improved a bit, but he's still prone to kind of quite erratic swings in form. So I would be inclined to wait and see what they've got lined up. If he can improve upon him, then I think he's a squad player for us. You might argue that he's already a squad player for us just now, so I'm kind of sitting in the fence a wee bit with that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit in the fence. I think that it would be... I think I look at McGlower and I think that he has more potential than McGabby has. That's not to say that we know that McGlower's available, but I think he kind of fits the bill as a championship youngster that perhaps is on the brink when it comes to what direction his career is going to go in. Doesn't look like he's anywhere near the picture at Rovers, so maybe a year or two at Motherwell would set his career in the right direction. I think for me, McGabby has had more bad moments in a Motherwell jersey than good. Don't get me wrong, though. I think he has proven me wrong on occasions this season, but it's been nowhere near regular enough to make him anything but a squad player. And I think that if I was to be pushed on it, the final decision would be to move him on. There's no point asking you, is there?
I'll be ready, but I'll take him wherever he wants to go, and I'll contribute to the wage for the clubs that are going to take him on. I would rather have Aaron Chapman playing the centre half than Davis McGabby. Andy said, he's a goal threat. He scored a couple of goals, but he's more than a threat in our own box. He scored own goals. He seems a nice enough big guy and stuff, but he's shite. That's it, in a nutshell. He's terrible. I don't think that you mentioned McGlower there. I don't think that he's what we're looking for either. But for me, every time McGabby's playing, I'm just waiting on him making a mistake. I've had a couple of games that he's had pass marks, but I can count them in the one hand. I think in the one finger, actually. He's not good enough.
I can count them on the one finger. There's definitely a new quote that we'll use. In terms of that, the next 100 year. So I've completely lost my train of thought. The next one in the list would be Charles Dunn. It's got you can start this one. I know you're a big fan, but there's a lot. There's been a lot of time away from the game for Charles Dunn, and we're now going back to Hamilton Accies in the, I think it was the 22nd of August 2019 for the last time that Charles Dunn had an outing in the Motherwell jersey.
Love Charlie Dunn. Love him. I think he's a character. He's a good guy to have around the club, but unfortunately, I think his time's came. I think that even to get him back to match fitness now would be impossible. Thanks very much for everything that you've done, and I wish you well wherever he ends up. He's been great. We look for it stays close to where we are, bumps into us now and again. He always speaks to my wee boy and stuff, cracking guy. But as we've said, sentiments no here, and I can't say give him a contract because I like him.
I'd have to agree with that, Andy. It's
It's been
I agree. I think we've played fair in terms of the time frame since his injury, like contract extension or two along the way. So if he hasn't proven himself fit and demonstrated his ability, the manager, by the kind of close of his contract, then I think you have to say sorry. We can't risk another contract on someone with that kind of you've so few games that played in the past couple of years, and even taking that back further as well, you know, he'd kind of prove his fitness to get his first kind of contract with the club as well. So it's not as if this is an isolated case, albeit the injuries might well be different. So I think that one is a kind of a natural kind of part of the ways there.
The next one, and I definitely think this could get quite interesting, this conversation. Declan Gallagher, who I think that it would say was, looked like a certainty to be leaving the club on a free transfer at the conclusion of his contract. I would still say that seems like quite a big possibility. Though Gallagher quite publicly stated that his desire was to continue the fight at Motherwell to ensure his place at the European Championships in the summer. He dropped out after an injury. He's not come back into the team, given that on Saturday we were on the back of two wins without Declan Gallagher starting the game. After the game, there was tensions running high. I believe that he was taking on a few fans in debates and Facebook and such like. I didn't see them myself. He's got a bit of a mixed reaction with the supporters. He can be quite outspoken. He can be quite defensive, which is fine for a captain, as far as I'm concerned, in the sense that he's willing to defend his teammates. Though it's a difficult one. In the back of a 4-1 defeat, everything's a bit raw. It's maybe better just to step away from your phone a wee bit and not get embroiled in silly debates. Some people straight away swipe back that was what made him not captain material. I think that he's endured quite a difficult season as captain. Just a multitude of factors, including the speculation about his future. I would certainly like to see Declan Gallagher stay at Motherwell. I don't think he will. I'm not 100% sure where he'll end up at. Do you know what? While last season he was absolutely outstanding, I think his form has stagnated somewhat this season. I think that his value has possibly peaked around the time of the Scotland playoff against Serbia. And since then, he struggled to replicate anywhere near that form for Motherwell. I would struggle to put a value on him if he had been in contract. I think it would be one that would be disappointed to lose. Though I think it's now getting to the stage, Scott, where he's becoming a wee bit of a divisive character, perhaps, and amongst the support, just maybe because of the way that he's carrying himself on social media and the debate with the supporters. There's a time and a place, and it is just not a great look, is it?
I quite like it. I quite like that he's quite passionate, but he cares. Do you know what I mean? We've just said there that, look, for example, Stephen O'Donnell's quite quiet. We've got the likes of Robbie Crawford, Barry Maguire that don't really show any kind of passion. Declan Gallagher, for me, does this because he cares. And I like to see that. I don't care if he's opinionated. If he sees something he doesn't agree with, he'll call you on it. And I like that. If we can... The whole point of this conversation is, can we get a better player in? Can we get a better player in Declan Gallagher next season? Absolutely not, in my opinion. So we should be moving everything to get him in a new contract. There's been very little said about this clause. It's nothing that I've seen. It's been confirmed or denied. I hope that it is the case that
his contract gets extended now, whether or not it's 25 starts or whatever it is, I don't know. But I would love him still to be here. And I like his kind of passion for calling it what he believes to be his chain of thought. So fair play to him. And he's, I don't know if you've ever seen his streaming, it's really good.
I've not, no. No, in terms of the passion, Andy, you're a dick. In terms of the passion, Andy, there's no getting away from the fact that he is a guy that wears his heart in his sleeve. It was kind of blood and guts performances for Scotland that really helped people take him to their hearts. Yes, there's, and I think that quite a lot of times we can maybe read too much into having access to players on social media. It's very easy for people to engage with the players, whereas that just wouldn't have happened, 20 years ago. So maybe that's a wee bit of a dangerous game at times, but certainly in terms of contribution in a Motherwell jersey, he's a player well worth keeping.
Yeah, but he's been a good signing, certainly. I don't know. I find that the longer it goes on, the less bothered I am about the prospect of him being elsewhere. It just seems to be an increasing amount of baggage. As you say, I mean, this certainly isn't the first time that, you know, he's been kind of exchanging views with people on social media, and not that that really bothers me either way, but I don't know. It's, in terms of performance, I thought he was excellent in the first season. I think he got player of the year, didn't he? And if he did, it was deserved. This season, I think he's found it difficult to adjust. I think, although he was like obviously slowing up to some extent, and there was a leadership element, like an organisational ability, but Hartley was there that allowed Gallagher to kind of just get on with his game naturally without having to take the kind of the fight on personally as he may feel he has to do as the captain. I don't think he's reached the same heights this season, but then that could be levied at kind of numerous players. I don't think he's going to be there next season. I think he's quite right to, at his age as he is, he's much a kind of bit like the kind of Trevor Carson scenario of a couple of years ago. So at this stage, with the reputation that he's built up and the exposure that he's going to have as part of the kind of European Championship squad, this is his time for moving. So he's not going to be at Fir Park next season. He's going to go somewhere where he can make that, you know, transformational sum, signing on fee, salary, whatever it is. Where he ends up, I don't know. I think if he goes elsewhere in Scotland, they may not, I think they may look at his Scotland performances and think that's what they're going to get every week, and I don't necessarily think that we can say we've seen that this season. More so last season, perhaps, and I don't know. Be good if he stayed. I would kind of like somebody that complements him better than any of the kind of defensive partners that we've currently got at the club just now. If he were to stay, to kind of allow him to kind of try and recapture that form a couple of seasons ago, perhaps. But he's not going to be here. So I think there's an element of kind of playing to the gallery to some extent about what he's going to do, what he's claiming to do, this, do that, the next thing. Just, you know, this is an opportunity for him to make a life-changing move, and he's going to take it. I don't doubt that he's going to give absolute commitment whilst he's here, but I don't see that he's genuinely considering, you know, contracting to stay in and beyond the summer with us.
I agree with that, and I'm getting a wee bit concerned about how far we're going to end up going with this in terms of time-wise, so we'll maybe try and go through these a wee bit quicker now in terms of, could we safely say that Stephen O'Donnell, we could just go with a yes or no answer to this, would be in the same boat as Declan Gallagher in terms of he's using this platform to enhance his chances for Euro 2021. After that, you would fully expect him to go elsewhere.
Totally agree. I think he'll done a decent enough job. He's a constant 7 out of 10, man. Thanks and good luck.
That's it. Done mutually beneficial transfer for us at the time, and he'll have the exposure now to go on and go to a club that I think he aspired to go to last summer.
I'm getting a wee bit conscious of the fact that I've overlooked how big a squad we've got here, so if you don't mind, guys, what I'll do is we'll do three more midfielders, or we'll do the first three midfielders, and then we'll do the second half in a podcast that we'll record prior to the Scottish Cup game, and that makes more sense as well, because we'll actually know by that point. It's one each at half time. We'll know who we're playing in the next round as well. Alan Campbell seems like a pretty straightforward one. It's certainly almost a desperation keep for me. I would love to see Alan Campbell remain at the football club. My favourite player in a Motherwell jersey in recent times. He's been absolutely outstanding. And that said, if he was to be offered a move and better money and a better opportunity, then it would be wrong almost of the club to stand in his way. He's been an absolutely brilliant servant for the football club. He's been there since he was a young boy. Yeah, he would go with everyone's best wishes, surely.
I don't think you can add in to that. Great guy on and off the park, gives 100%. Nothing else needs to be said.
I think if you actually take a step back from being like a kind of biased Motherwell fan, I think it would actually do him personally the world of good, getting out somewhere, playing in a different league, getting different experiences against different players. I think he's played a massive amount of games for his age, comparatively many of a similar kind of age as him. And I think it would be good just to see how far he can progress in a kind of different environment and take his kind of game on and adapt and develop and see where he can go. I'd obviously love him to stay as well, but you know, exactly as you've said, you know, you wouldn't stand in his way at all for the contribution that he's made.
Yeah, and I think we discussed that on another podcast around about a month ago, that perhaps there is a somewhat of a glass ceiling for Alan Campbell. We didn't know quite to what level he could go to, whether he could be one of these guys like a John McGinn that, or a Kenny McLean that goes down south and really excels and finds himself a mainstay in a team like Norwich or a team like Aston Villa. Or it would be the case that he maybe does kind of level out at championship level and perhaps even finds himself back in Scotland in the years to come. But I think from a curiosity standpoint, it would be quite interesting to see Alan Campbell move on, though it would be pretty hard news to take at the time when he did decide that it was time to end what's been a brilliant run in the Motherwell first team ever since he came in. He's been absolutely superb. I think he's rightfully lauded by the Motherwell supporters, and that's not going to change. I think we'd all agree as well. He's carried himself brilliantly. His application and his desire to improve has been well documented, and it has reflected his performances as well.
Well, the sad thing is the likelihood is his last game will be at Fir Park without any fans there. So, as you say, there's nothing else that can be said. He's well thought of by the club, the fans. Cliche, but he's a kind of a player that you want the younger players, not even at the club, at maybe boys' age group, looking up to aspire to be like.
Absolutely. The next player on the list is Robbie Crawford, who, personally, I don't think he's a remarkable player, but I have been fairly impressed by his improvement in the Motherwell jersey. I still don't think he's quite to the level that we need. I certainly sometimes feel like I'm watching a different game from Jock Brown, who lavishes praise on Robbie Crawford on a weekly basis. He's not the most... He's maybe one of these players that lacks that dig that we've mentioned has been lacking throughout this podcast. Would I like to say... I think I'm pretty nonplussed about this one, to be honest. If we were to keep him, he's a reasonable squad player that we possibly get better out of than I expected. That said, I wouldn't shed any tears if he was to leave either. It might just be one of these ones that it works for both parties to extend Robbie's deal. So, yeah, as I say, I'm not bothered either way. If I was to be pushed, I would say actually just keep a hold of him. I think that he's a player that would be able to contribute, but I wouldn't want him as a first team pick every week.
In my view is, if he's not a first team pick, then he needs to move on. But that's probably contradictory what I said about Grimmie. I think Grimmie brings a lot more. Robbie Crawford for me isn't good enough. He's had a good, he's some decent performances, but not for me. I think we need to, particularly in that position of the pitch, I think we need better than that.
I think he's been alright. But just alright. I think if you want to be challenging in the kind of part of the league where we want to be, again, I kind of go back that you can have some, you need squad cover, you need kind of versatility in some respects. You need the kind of players that's going to be in there, and he looks like one of those guys that can kind of, you know, fill in as they need their eyes. But how many of these guys are going to kick about our squad knowing that they're not first pick? I don't know. I think he's all right. I don't think he's nearly as bad as people have painted him to be, but he's not awe-inspiring either. So I'm a bit like yourself. I'm kind of fairly indifferent as to whether he stays or goes.
Last one for tonight, Liam Polworth. Scott, I'll give you the first word on this one. You have mentioned earlier on that you don't feel that his digging, his desire is really there. It's been a very disappointing and very substandard season for Polworth compared to what was a really impressive first term.
The players were, you look at the stats, it makes sense for him to get a contract off the stats, but I think he sold the jerseys a good few times this season. Pataudry, his attitude was terrible. He was always going to be sent off, and he gives away the penalty. I don't think he's a type of player that when you need to fight, that he channels his energy the wrong way. As I've just gave you two examples there. So for me, he's done all right. But I think it's maybe time for him to move on. He's been better than Ian Vigers, but it kind of reminds me a wee bit of him. This doesn't look as if it's fitting at Motherwell anymore. And I may not be surprised if he ends up at kind of, if Ross County stay up, back up Ross County, or I just don't see him featuring at all. I think Graham Alexander has made his mind up. I mean, he's not even been coming off the bench recently, so I think that one, I'd be really, really, really surprised if he's there. I'd be more accustomed to him staying than Robbie Crawford. But I can't see him featuring. I think it's time for him to move on as well.
I'd be a bit disappointed in Liam Polworth's season, to be honest. The season began with him almost looking a wee bit like his nose had been put out of joint due to the fact that David Turnbull was starting in front of him. I think that having two players like Polworth and Turnbull in your midfield wouldn't have worked. And I don't think there's any debate as to who's the better player out of the two of them. So it was inevitable that Turnbull would get the nod. Turnbull obviously leaves, and you expect that that would almost kind of galvanise Liam Polworth, but never really got anything like what we got last season. And really, the season has been just a sequence of failed set pieces from him, conceding the penalty at Pittodrie, the penalty against St Johnston, getting sent off at Pittodrie. Just a campaign to forget, certainly. And I think what Scott said is 100% spot on, in the sense that he's possibly off to such a bad start under Graham Alexander. There's very little chance that he's going to be rewarded with a new contract after that.
Nah, it's not. It doesn't strike me. It's a situation that's redeemable from this point either. I kind of share both of your kind of views. I thought he was excellent last season. I think he's one of the players that suffered more than most through the kind of absence of Liam Donnelly. I just don't think with the midfield that we've had, that he's had the kind of assurance of player round about him to be able to kind of do when he was on form, doing it best. And I think without that, it just looks like a luxury. And really, we've got no space in a team for somebody that's wandering about with a petted lip, really, which is the impression that he gives. So it's quite a sad deterioration from, you know, those opening few months where it was, you know, an assist every other week, practically. And, you know, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here, but, you know, it went a really far way along the road to make sure that we didn't really miss David Turnbull that much in those opening kind of, you know, 5-6 months last season. I don't think we could actually believe a lot in some respects with the kind of amount of, you know, set pieces and, you know, assists it was kind of notching up along the way. So for it to be basically a season of kind of nothingness is quite disappointing. But, you know, I think this is another one where, you know, it's going to be in both parties' interest that we part ways.
Guys, thank you very much for sticking with it there. We will continue this in the next episode. We'll do a wee shorter one for the remaining players out of contract, and we'll also look ahead to that Scottish Cup third round tie against Portmartin or Annan Athletic. It's still one each in that game just now, with the second half just kicking off. Guys, thanks very much for your time.
Just before we finish, I just hope that Davis McGarvey knows that I never meet him, because I think he would absolutely batter me if I ever meet him. So apologies to Big Beavis, it's nothing personal.
I think it would be absolutely merited. Don't think you could even complain if it happened.
I think we should get a challenge that I'll go with Declan and you go with Beavis, and we'll just have a big square go.
I tell you what, why don't we have a game of FIFA or something like that, set up like real men? You've been listening to the FC Podcast. We'll be back prior to that Scottish Cup game. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
Lay down, give me someone new.